Lighthouse Church presents the following message by Pastor Jason Holloman.
There are just those seasons, and as you look around, you can see so many of our people are out. And so where there's those seasons where there's so much transition and people traveling, and in fact, our car is literally packed right now for us to go back out of town just following this service. I'll pack the trailer, the Lighthouse trailer, and then we're going to take off to Kentucky. And so we are in that season as a church, so many people coming and going. But by God's grace, we can gather on Sunday. And by God's grace, we can celebrate all that God is doing. And so today, for those of you that have been following us, you know that we're in Hebrews chapter 11. For those that are new or those that have not been with us the last few weeks, that's where we will be in our text. So let me tell you how we're going to approach today's text. I'm going to read Hebrews chapter 11 all the way through. Now, this is important. This is really important. A public reading of God's word is what Christians have been doing since the letters were formed. And I would even say, even before the canonization, even before we put the Bible together in its construction, in its current form, Christians have been gathering together and people have been standing up and reading the letters, whether it be from Paul or reading the papers, whether it be from Moses or whoever it might be. And so this is a formative practice that Christians have been doing literally from the beginning. And so if you sit here, and this will take about 7 minutes, for those of you that want to know about how long it's going to take, it's going to be about 7 minutes, but you have to hear me. The attention span today, now there's a couple of old folks in here. You guys have pretty good attention spans. There's some young guys in here. I've got children in here, right? Not so good on the attention span, but this is a part of what we do in forming us as believers. We partake in the reading of God's word, okay? So praise God that we have the opportunity to do this. In fact, of all the things that we do as we gather to worship and to talk about how good God is, to gather together and talk about the advancement of the kingdom, to open God's word and to read God's word, and then to partake in the Lord's Supper. Friends, that's church. Oh man, don't even get me started. And listen, I didn't even write any of what I've said down. This is all just a pre-introduction. Okay, all right, let's do it. All right, sounds good. Good, tough crowd. I'll be here for the remainder of our time. Okay, good. Chapter 11, beginning in verse 1 of Hebrews. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of the things that are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. And when he was not found, because God had taken him, now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. Verse 6, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning the events yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was to be going. And by faith, he went out to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. Verse 10, for he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer is the builder, is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Verse 12, therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born the descendants, as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles upon the earth. Verse 14, for people who speak thus make it clear that they should be seeking a homeland. For if they had been thinking that the land from which they had gone out, they would have had the opportunity to return. Verse 16, but as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he, who had received the promises, was in an act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall be an offspring be named. Verse 19, he considered God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessing on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of his sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. Verse 22, by faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated by the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Verse 28, by faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. Verse 29, by faith, the people crossed the Red Sea into dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled 7 days. By faith, Rahab, the prostitute, did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had given friendly welcome to the spies. And what more shall I say? Now, for some of us are thinking, my goodness, you've said a lot. Right? Let's get ready. We're going back in. And what more shall I say? Verse 32. For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets who were by faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, and were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, and put foreign armies to fight. Aren't you thankful that you don't read this out loud in front of a group of your friends? Yeah. Women received back their dead by the day of resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release, so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking, flogging, even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with a sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts, mountains, dens, and caves upon the earth. And all of these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what is promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. And that ends Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at the end of the chapter, and we will together read at the end of this time, Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verses 1 and 2. It's a passage that transitions this week to next week. Now, with the reading of this scripture, let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. What an amazing day. What an advancement of your kingdom. To pray for a local church. Oh, so many of your churches are in competition with each other. Praise God that we can pray for Parkway and Jeff Ashley. Praise God that we can pray for the advancement of your kingdom's effort. So many Churches today want to hoard wealth for themselves. Thank God that the elders of Lighthouse Church want to invest the wealth of the church into kingdom advancement. So many churches today want to just tickle the ears with things that seem right. Praise God that as it is today, we wait for you, Spirit of the living God, to light on fire this passage of Scripture given to us. Holy Spirit, come, we pray. In the name of Christ, we ask. Amen. So I don't know if you have ever been around somebody who's a self-help kind of guy. Anybody been around those guys? Anybody? Anybody? Nobody. Wow. Man, pretty narrow group of folks in here. Well, I happen to meet somebody. We'll leave him nameless because I don't want him to come back and try to find me after talking about him. But there's a fella that's in the Flower Mound area. And man, he is a guy that's like an executive coach. He's a guy that really wants to help leaders go to the next level. You kind of get an idea of who I'm talking about here. And I just happened through a series of relationships, spend some time with this guy, and I went by his house to try to spend some time and talk to him about Jesus. And when I got to his house, I entered through the garage, and I saw something I've never seen before. I saw this massive picture of this older dude who was completely ripped up, like muscles everywhere. And then all of these like things that this guy wanted to do. And when I walked in, I was taken back by it, because usually when I walk in garages, I don't see cars, at least that's not been my family heritage. It's just a lot of boxes of stuff. But usually, people put cars in the garage, right? And so I was expecting a car, I was expecting, you know, boxes and things that you hold on to that never look at, you know, those kinds of things. But not in this guy's garage. Oh no. A huge, massive mural with all of these goals. And so when I walked in, I was taken back and I said, hey, tell me about the naked guy. And he said, well, he's not naked. And I was like, I know, but, you know, tell me about the guy with big muscles who's, like, staring at me. And he said, that's my hope. That's my goal. And I said, you are going to be that guy? And he said, yeah, that's what I'm going for. And I was like, hey, I hate to break it to you. But, man, I think those days, potentially years, have passed. And he said, no, man, I have my eyes set on these goals. And so I kind of looked next to the goals on this big whiteboard, and it was all of these lofty goals, financial goals, goals with his family, and all of these different things. And it struck me because he had such clarity about the things he was hoping for. Now, were they internal? No. Were they righteous? Not necessarily. Were they unattainable for him? Absolutely, right? But I was struck by it. I was just struck about it because he had such drive and by design, this kind of faith that he was going to get there. And so just because I think I'm an encourager by nature, I'll text him about once a year. Hey, buddy, send me a picture. How close are you? Right? And oddly enough, he doesn't ever send me back a picture, oddly enough. Conclude what you will. When we look at this passage, there's the definition of faith. There's a definition of faith. Now, by faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. Now, I gave you a secular illustration of this guy hoping for something. He was hoping for something, right? He had faith that he was going to get there. And that is the definition of faith. The definition of faith is pursuing something that is not manifest or seen, but that there is your hope is in it. And let me tell you something. I'm not trying to be funny here. Everything in this guy's life, everything was driven for this goal and this hope. And it really, as I have been just chewing on this passage, considering because his face kept coming to my mind, faith is hoping in what is not yet seen. And for us, for the Christian, that is the definition. And for us, you kind of think, okay, yeah, okay, I get it. And the writer of Hebrews doesn't want you just to get it. He doesn't want to say, hey, have faith that the kingdom is advancing, that Christ did what he said he was going to do, that he is coming back for his church. Instead, what the writer of Hebrews does is he gives us over 40 illustrations of all of these people that had hope, and in that hope, they were looking to something that they did not themselves possess. We'll see this at the end of our time. Now, in verse 3, that we understand the universe was created by the word of God so that what is seen is not made out of the things that are visible. There's a concept in theology, and that's called ex nihilo, created out of nothing. And so in the fall, we're going to walk through the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis, and we're going to talk about the concept ex nihilo, to create out of nothing. And anybody seen the James Webb telescope? Anybody watch what's happening? Do you guys exist in the world? So you don't have any friends that have goals. You don't have any goals. You apparently aren't looking at telescope pictures. Help me here, guys. Just what would be helpful illustrations for you people? Right? I mean, I'm actually going to use a sports illustration today. I'm actually going to do that just to try to connect with you a little bit better. I mean, I don't watch sports, but I figure you must, because nobody's looking at telescopes, right? No? Okay. Okay, I'm just going to be up here by myself, and if you want to participate, you let me know, all right? No, the James Webb telescope is amazing. It's unbelievable. In fact, to see these images of galaxies that we have never seen, that are expanding at rates that we are just now starting to put math to. It is unbelievable. I cannot wait to talk about this when we get into Genesis in the fall. I cannot wait to talk about the expanse of the universe. I cannot wait to talk about the Big Bang that took place, which I have a very specific thought about, as God spoke, which was probably pretty powerful. All of these things and flinging these things into existence. And we are putting together instruments that are just now able to see things that are literal millions of light years away. And then to see that each of the specks are themselves their own systems around stars. It is mind-bending. The Bible says that by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God. So that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Now, verse 4. This is so important as we get into these things. If I was to entitle this message, the entitled message would be that faith absolutely is a verb. Faith is a verb. There was a Christian band that wrote a song, Love is a Verb. I cannot replace, you remember what it is? DC Talk. DC Talk. Thank you. Look at that. Yep, you guys were raised Christian. Totally get it. Yep. Because I was literally thinking, was it DC, ACDC, ACDC? No, DC Talk. Got it. So we just revealed the ways that we were raised. ACDC? No, Jason. DC Talk. Okay, got it. So Love is a Verb, right? That is a popular song for kids that grew up in the 90s and raised in a Christian worldview. This here, it could not be more clear that these actions of faith are all verbs, every single one of them. There's not a single instance of the 40 illustrations that is given to us by the writer of Hebrews where a verb was not illustrated. And so what I want to do is start to push on us the verbs. In fact, let me give you the methodology of the sermon. We're going to get through right around the end of verse 11, and I am by design going to speed up the use and work of the scriptures. Because if you read this in the Greek and you begin to see how the sentences were constructed, you can see that the writer is giving illustrations, and he's going faster. And then he stops giving the illustrations of the life, and he starts just giving the names of the life. And then you begin to see him talk about all the things that were done, and it culminates in Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verses 1 and 2. And so you can see here, by faith, Abel offered. What's the verb? He offered a more acceptable sacrifice. So through faith, though he died, he still speaks. This is a powerful illustration. When we walk in faith, in fact, today, so we have multiple volunteers doing a lot of different things here at the church. By faith, these volunteers gave up time, even if it was sleeping. They gave up time to unload a trailer when it's super hot outside and put all the sound equipment together. By faith, we have an entire volunteer team volunteering their time, and they're giving something else up. When we have faith, we are connected with the faith of those who have gone before us. That is literally what verse 4 is saying, that though though this faith, he died, faith, he still speaks. And so there's a way in which that the faith that our team that came back from El Salvador, there's a way in which the faith that they were mustered up with by the Spirit of God is the same connected faith that is echoing from Moses when he puts his staff and separates the waters for the children of Israel to walk across. The same power, the same kingdom, the same advancement, the same faith is present today. Verse 5, by faith, Enoch was taken up. In fact, sometimes some translations say transformed, though he should not see death. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about this in Genesis, but when he was taken up, he was 365 years old. You might say, whoa, weird deal. Yeah, it's a very unusual concept. Did you know that Adam lived to be about 960 years old? Did you know that? Yeah, it's crazy that when if you're not raised in a Christian worldview where you understand the science of what commentators would say the Antediluvian period, which is simply the flood, you'll begin to see that before the flood, starting with Adam, he lived to be 960 years old, all the way past the flood or post-Antediluvian period. You can see ages just starting to shrink and shrink and shrink and shrink and shrink, all the way to the point where from Adam all the way to some of those that we're going to be talking about here only lived to be 111 or so years old. In fact, Sarah, who we're going to talk about here in just a bit, she lived to be 127. And by faith, Enoch was taken up at 365 years old. His life was cut by that point in history by a third. And verse 6, probably the point of this sermon. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. Please who? Please God. It is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. I've been sitting on this passage for a bit because so often we kind of feel like it's more spiritual to not want blessing from God, right? And it's interesting because here you see very clearly that it is impossible to please God without faith. And so faith is the main idea. Faith of the Christian life is the main idea. Are you ready for my second sports illustration since I've been your pastor? Hey, are you guys ready? Who's excited? Wiley, are you excited about this? Yeah, thank you. At least you're there with me. Thank you. Yeah, so listen, if we're going to construct a football team, if we're going to get a football team together, we got cheerleaders, we got helmets, we've got a stadium, we've got turf, we've got all the stuff. We've got training. We've got all these guys ready to go. They've got these pads, and everybody's ready to go. You know, I'm a football guy, so clearly I know the names of them. And the whole thing is ready to go, and everybody gets to the field. And you've got all the things that are on the side of the things with chains, and everybody's ready. But there's no ball. Can you play football? Can the guys go, let's pretend. Let's just pretend that we're throwing it. Right? Well, then I'm going to pretend that I intercept it. Well, let's just pretend that he caught it. I'm going to pretend that it fumbled it. You have to have the ball. You could have everything. You could have everything in place. But if you do not have the ball, you are not playing football. You're just not. And literally, you could be in a desert with nothing. I mean nothing. No stick things with chains. And have what? A football. And guess what? You're playing football. So often the church makes all of these things. We have all of these things of the age. Look how big our building is. Look how big this thing is. Look at how much of this we're doing. Look at how many people are coming. And it's like, what? What? You're making all of this. Look, we have a stadium. It's like, you don't have a ball. Yes, but look at the green turf we have. It's like, you do not have faith. And faith is the point of all of it. Faith is the point of all of it. If you're sitting in here and say, I have never missed church one time, awesome. Tell me about your faith. Tell me about the actions of your life. Tell me about that you sensing from the Spirit or reading in God's word and you taking action towards something. Then we're talking about something. But if you sit in here and say, oh no, I mean, I gave all this money. Awesome, great. If you gave it in faith unto the Lord, praise God. But if you're just playing, if you're just pretending, if you're just putting it all together, the Bible says here that it is impossible to please him without faith. Now, by faith, Noah. Did Noah sit around? No. Noah was given by God unbelievable schematics for the earth to be flooded and for those descendants and animals that were brought in by God, door shut by God, for them to live and not be condemned. By faith, Abraham, verse 8. By faith, Sarah, in verse 11. Listen, friends, Sarah was 90 years old. She lived to be 127 years old. But it was very clear to all those that were present that she was so advanced in age, it was laughable that she would be pregnant. She believed. She had faith. Now, verse 12. Therefore, one man and him as good as dead were born the descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as innumerable as the grains of sand by the seashore. Friends, if you want to have a fun afternoon, and I know some of you might not think this is fun, but I'm telling you, this is fun. If you want to have fun, type in an appropriate search engine, James Webb Telescope, and just look at the expanse of the universe. It's unbelievable. If you want to have an equally fun time, type in a search engine, grains of sand under a microscope. Friends, if you think sand is sand, you're wrong. I know, in preparation for this, I spent hours looking at the seven primary types of sand. Why? Because when I started, it blew my mind that the depth and detail of a handful of sand is as profound as staring into a telescope into the expanse of the sky. The infinite detail in every single part of the kingdom is unbelievable. And that's not a joke. That's not a joke. In fact, there's an entire group of science in classification of sand. You could literally just take a scoop of sand from anywhere in the world and go up to a sand guy, and he would know almost specifically where it's from. It's that detailed. And what does the Bible say? Stars of heaven, as many as innumerable as the grains of sand on the seashore. Now, verse 13, all of these died in faith, not having received the things promised. I get this question a lot. Okay, why do we have to believe in faith in Jesus Christ? Why do we have to believe to be Christians? But what about Old Testament people? Like, why aren't they Christian? Or are they Christian? Like, how do they know? This is the exact verse to answer that question. And all these died in faith, having not received the things promised. What was promised? That there would be a Messiah that would come. There's a Messiah that would come that would represent God and make all things right. He would have good news. But having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth, it's this idea that all of these Old Testament saints believed in faith and waited for the Messiah, and they went to death without seeing Jesus Christ high and lifted up. But their faith was in the coming Messiah. Do you see it? This is profound. The reason why the death of Jesus Christ is the singular point in history. If you really want to look at it, I mean, our Roman calendar changed at the death of Christ. But the singular point in history, all of the Old Testament believers, from your vantage point, all of the Old Testament believers are looking to Jesus Christ, but they had not seen him. They knew things about him. They knew that there would be a man that came from God, but they were waiting and looking for thousands of years. And then this singular event, there are those of us that are here thousands of years later. And what do? We look back to this singular event of Jesus Christ being put upon the cross, and we see that this singular event in faith satisfies our future with God. Old Testament believers looked in faith to the cross. Today, New Testament Christians look backward at the cross. And so the cross is the singular event, and faith is the singular action. By faith alone, in Christ alone. And so what we see here is that they looked back. Now, how do we know? Verse 2, go all the way back up to verse 2. Now, don't worry, I'm not going to go through it again. We're just going to go to verse 2, and then we're going to keep going. So don't you worry, guys. But in verse 2, by it, people of the old received their commendation. Faith. Now, as you begin to look at these verbs, I'm going to take each of these verbs and pair them with their people. In verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested. So what was the faith? He was tested and he offered up Isaac. Now, if you look at each of these stories, if we had the time, if we were sitting in a living room and we weren't renting a facility by the hour, I would love to just open the scriptures and say, okay, everybody get comfy, everybody get comfy. All right, let's open up your Bibles and let's just go to each of these Old Testament stories. And for those of us that were not raised in the church, there would be a lot more questions. Like, what? That happened? That's so weird. And for those of us that grew up in church and remember the stories, then we would be like, yeah, I remember that. Man, that's amazing how that works. We would just take the time to go through each of them. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, he offered up Isaac. Verse 20, by faith, Isaac invoked. He spoke. What is the verb? He spoke. In verse 21, by faith, Jacob did what? While he was dying, he blessed. What's the verb? He was blessing. Verse 22, by faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made a mention to the Exodus. By faith, Moses, in verse 23, like even his parents, by faith, did what? They hid him. Moses, in verse 24, when he was growing up, what did he do? He refused. He said no to what? To being under Pharaoh's home. And each of these moments, faith wasn't just sitting there. In each of these moments, it wasn't like, you know what? Like if I'm Noah, it's like, man, I got this vision of this super big wood-looking thing, pretty weird looking. Apparently, there's going to be a cataclysmic flood. I'm pretty tired. I'm in my multi-hundreds. Not sure that I want to start a big project, if you know what I mean. Right? Some of us don't even want to invade a bathroom after 60. But not Noah. Oh, no. He wants to build something huge. And literally, faith for him was not sitting on his hands. Faith for him was hundreds of years of dedicated work. Hundreds. By faith, verse 29, the people crossed the Red Sea. I don't know about you, but I get a little nervous just going into one of those aquariums right next to that glass. I walk up to the glass like, how thick is this thing? You know, there's a shark just staring at my face. It's like, if this were to break, I would probably have a fair fight on land with that shark, right? Can you imagine walking through a river that's being held on both sides? The faith that it would be required. In fact, I just absolutely love this. They had the faith that God would hold it. And the Egyptians that followed after them really thought that they weren't that bad because they too thought that God would hold it for them, right? And as they were walking through, they're like, well, surely God's not going to see us any differently than those Israelites that were walking through. Apparently, God sees something a little different than the external clothing. As we continue to see this, by faith, Rahab, what did she do? She gave friendly welcome. And what more shall I say? Gideon, Barak, friends, the point of the entire hall of faith here is that you would hear this and that there would be something in you that would begin to stir. That you would sit back and listen, if we were a church that spent more time in testimony, I mean, I could literally just look around the room and say, ah, by faith, this guy in the face of difficulty held fast. And this lady in the face of a difficult story in her spouse held fast. And if we were to just stand up today, and maybe one day during a member meeting, we'll just do that. We'll just start to testify to the faith that is presented in this congregation alone. It is intended to start to stir in us, to be able to say that there is something significant here, that the people of God, starting with Adam, just began to just have something stir in them in faith. Christ then is crucified, and the people of God continue to walk out in faith, and today is no different. In fact, what I'm about to read is happening today. And if your Christianity is boring, if your Christianity doesn't have a grid for this, then all I would say is press in, because these things are happening. If we're showing up to church just to sit here to check a box. It's a terrible hobby. You might as well try something like golf, which is awful. Respectfully said, of course. There's a couple of golfers in here that are, you know, giving me the evil eye. Through faith, conquered kingdoms, verse 33, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions. Friends, lions don't have their mouths stopped. Quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to fight. Like you might say, friends, that, oh, yeah, but this isn't kind of what's happening. Literally, last Sunday, a visitor came to the church, a medical doctor, a maxillofacial surgeon, a scientific guy. When I was asking him, hey, tell me about your testimony. I've known him for years. I'm sitting there with another member, and I wanted them to share. And he said, listen, I went on a mission trip. I'm a scientist. I'm a doctor. I'm a medical doctor. I went on a mission trip, and a guy was dead. He was dead all day. I walked past him multiple times. He was dead. I think he even said something like, he was hot dead, which means he was really dead. And you could be like super cold and dead and maybe not be dead, right? He was hot dead, and he came to life. He said, I kind of had a little problem at that point with Christianity. I was like, what was the problem? He's like, that I had to do something with it. I'm a doctor. And to be with Steve last week in Mexico and to just hear story after story and testimony after testimony of brokenness and difficulty and struggle. I mean, there are stories that literally cannot be shared because of children, because they are such difficult stories. And to see and to hear and to know the names of people that said, you know what? I would rather be there and endure that for the sake of the gospel. It's a privilege. This is happening all over the world. Part of the reason why we so regularly want to grab American Christians and shake them and then put them on a plane and send them to foreign countries is because for whatever reason, in this age and in this area and in this country, it's just hard to see the movements and power of God. Why? Because everything is so easy. It's so easy. I mean, everything is so easy. I mean, a flat tire will just tear us up. Oh, God is biting me. Oh, right. You know, it's my cross to bear. It's like, flat tire. Guys, wake up. And listen, I'm no different. Watch, I'm about to drive to Kentucky. You don't think for a second if I get a flat tire, that I'm not going to be looking at my family and going, seriously? I guarantee you if it happens, one of my sons will say, it's your cross to bear. Yeah. Mark it down. I promise you it'll happen. Don't you dare pray that I get a flat tire. Don't you dare. I'm going to check my spare real good today. Yeah. No, everything is so easy. Air conditioning is so cold. Carpet feels so good. Refrigerated food is so safe. And it just encroaches and chokes out and distracts us from the advancement of the kingdom of God and the primary point of this entire passage, to believe in faith that God is who he says he is. He is doing what he says he does. And it's not happening back then. It's not going to happen in the future. It's not going to happen in Africa or Mexico. It is happening here in Prosper, Texas. And it's happening today. All you have to do is open your eyes and see it. In fact, I'll push you here. Pray for it and see what happens. Ask God, okay, fine, I'll take the gamble. I want to believe in faith. Show me. I believe that he will. In verse 39, and all these, through commending through their faith, did not receive what's promised. And friends, nor have we. Now, do we have the promise of the Son, Jesus? Yes, we have that promise. Praise God, we have that. But what is described here is everlasting life, a strong body. Listen, we right now are in the process of decay. Like our state is just further and further and further decay. Aren't you glad you came to church? Yeah, you're falling apart. Some of you feel it. Some of you are under the illusion that it's not happening. Oh, it is, friends. Oh, it is. regardless of the picture of the man you have in your garage, you are decaying. This promise is that one day, all of this, in the return of Jesus Christ for his church, all of this will be made right. Bodies in glorified form will no longer decay. Relationships, when in glorified form, will no longer have division. Knowledge of God, which right now we are working so hard not to be heretics. Do you know how hard it is to just pore over the scriptures and beg God for illumination and read as much as you can to stand up here and not be a heretic? Oh, man, you have no idea the trepidation that's there. That's why I'm constantly reading commentaries from different centuries to make sure that we're not being deceived. The primary role of the elders of this church is simply to keep us from errant doctrine. It is, the church in the United States is full of it. And so, friends, it's so much effort and work and in faith. I believe that God will reveal himself, and one day with his promise, we'll see him perfectly. I cannot wait. I cannot wait for Jesus to return and say, hey, I got a ton of questions. And then for him just to tell me the answers and be like, seriously? I've been preaching that wrong for years. Man. And he's going to be like, man, you did pretty good. Right? Now, my question for you today, really simply, are you going to take action? Are you going to do something with this? I just gave you 44 verbs of people from old. I could give you hundreds more from the New Testament. I could give you hundreds from this congregation alone. And I'm asking the question, like, the whole point of this passage is to do something with what you've read, what you've heard. So, if faith is an action, then I'm begging God that you would fall into action. Here's my questions for today. Is your Christian life one of action or distraction? Action or distraction? So right now, in your Christian life, like, would you say, no, I'm a Christian, I'm totally a Christian. Are you distracted by the pleasures of the age? Are you distracted by all other things? And listen, some of you have hard lives. Some of you have super difficult marriages. Get it, lots of things to be distracted by. But I'm asking, is your life, is the faith that you have, is it marked by action or is it marked by distraction of the age? We're not talking about salvation here, friends. Christ saves from a free gift. We're not earning anything here. This is written to Christians. So my question is to Christians, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, then receive from God the free gift. For the believers, these are actions. Second, what is the Spirit of God nudging you to do? What is he nudging you? I'm praying that there be something in your mind, that you would just in your mind be thinking just something. Is he nudging you to give or to serve or to do or to have a conversation? Is he nudging you to be more regular here, more faithful here to have this conversation? What is the Spirit nudging you to do? And you might be in here super, super Christian guy or super Christian gal. Like, you might be walking in here and almost be perfect. One, you probably have no friends. Just an assumption. But if you're coming in here like, dude, I'm pretty perfect. Okay, great. Well, you're not Jesus, so what is the Spirit of God nudging you to do, right? What is he nudging you to do? Write one thing down. Commit one thing to your mind. And tell somebody so we can pray that you'd be faithful in it. Just be faithful in it. And then lastly, I would love for you to, with me, read our transitionary verse. And I'm going to read it now in the book of Hebrews. I should have had it in my scriptures open. We're going to read the verse, Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verses 1 and 2. All that we've just talked about, verb, 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 story, verb, story, verb, proper noun, person's name, person's name, person's name. Why? Why are we doing all of this? Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every sin and weight that clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. This week, read the verse, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, because that will be the verse we start with next week. Let's pray to enter our time of the Lord's Supper.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message. For more information, visit our website at lighthousentx.com.